So we're in a series called Joy. Love the artwork. It's very joyful. Yep, we could have sung a few songs around joy. I started this series a couple of weeks ago, just sort of trying to frame the idea of what joy is. And then this week, I'm talking about the joy in community. And I've entitled this message, Joy in the Mess. I've spent over 40 years in this community, right? In this church community. Came to Sydney as a 14-year-old from Adelaide to this church. We weren't in this building at the time, back in 1980. And I've been here ever since. And some would say that's ludicrous. I think Andrew and Ruth were the only ones here when I got here, so you've been here longer than me. And there's a few that have come along via the wayside, but and in that 40, that's more than, what's that, 45 years or something, 30 of those roughly I've served here on part of the staff. And so I've seen some incredible moments of joy in community, some amazing moments of transformation and joy in community. I've also seen it where the joy seems to be somewhere really hard to find through the chaos or through conflict or through the mess of community. And community is hard sometimes. You know, being together, and one of the things about the church is that I believe when the church is operating the way I believe God called and created it to be, a light and salt to the world, that it's an incredibly beautiful, wonderful, and amazing place. You know, full of hope and joy and love and incredible moments where, you know, we get to experience the beauty of the church. But the church is also made up of people. Yeah. And people are not perfect, right? Is anyone here perfect? Just me. You know, my dad used to sing a song when I was... That's the song. Now, you're way younger than my dad, so I'm not sure how you know that song, but maybe your dad sang it to you as well. You know, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I have experienced the mess of community, and I guess I want to talk about how I believe joy grows in community, in a spirit-filled community. You know, when Dave sent out the email with a bit of an idea of where this joy series was going, I just do as I'm told. You know, he's the boss. His comment was, joy grows in a spirit-filled community marked by love, humility, and unity. Not by perfection, but by a shared commitment. That was my ad. It's not about perfection. It's about, for me, this kind of joy, this is a spiritual joy that we're talking about. You know, in a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, you can be frustrated, grieving, sad, but also joyful in our relationship with Jesus because it's the Spirit of God that brings that joy. You know, at its core, joy is not this emotion or a moment we might experience in church. It's an active living testimony. And I believe that this kind of joy is a choice. I believe we choose it or we don't choose it. And if I'm honest, and I usually am, just so you know, there are times when I don't choose joy. I choose to be angry and offended and upset or frustrated and annoyed, instead of choosing the joy. So I want to challenge us today, and encourage us, because I believe big picture, and I look back over 45 years, there's been way more joy than non-joy. And I believe, you know, that's the heart of who God has called us to be. So the text that I'm going to kind of frame this around is continuing on in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. So I'll read that to you. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do nothing. Zip. Zero. This is hard, right? Do nothing from out of selfish ambition. You know, as Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, I feel like there's a connection to, there's a text in Hebrews that says, you know, along the lines of, you know, support, encourage, stand beside your leaders and make their job a joy. I think Paul here is going, hey guys, make my joy complete by learning these things and choosing this lifestyle as a witness to the world. Community is messy. No doubt about it. Church community is no different. I've experienced conflicts, experienced disunity, discouragement, crisis. But that messiness doesn't have to eliminate joy. For me, it makes space for the choice to cultivate it, to cultivate the joy of community, the joy of the church, of who I believe God has called us to be. Joy in the mess. As soon as you get more than one person, life gets messy. When you multiply that in a faith community, the increasedness of messiness just keeps going up. The potential for mess is greater because in community we're not related in a sense. We have chosen to call these people family and home. And sometimes there will be people in that community that you don't get on with and maybe you don't like that much. I don't know. I like all of you though. So I want to quickly just dive in. I want to give you four ways to cultivate joy in community. And I guess part of this is a little bit of a reflection on 30 years of being involved in leadership and 45 years in this church. Things that I've seen work in cultivating joy, but also things that I know are challenging for me and have been challenging for us as a faith community. And I know, I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure it's all of us at times. So the first thing is this. We've got to get comfortable with not getting our own way. I could sit down now, right? Sometimes that's just so hard. I mean, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I read a quote that says, joy dies in the spirit of entitlement, but thrives in the act of surrender. Entitlement is transactional. Surrender is transformational. We've got to get comfortable. If we want to cultivate joy, and as I said 2 weeks ago, joy is a witness to the world. Because our world looks at the faith community and goes, how can they be joyful? You know, there's all different age groups and different nationalities and different experiences and growing up and different opinions. How can there be joy in such messy diversity? See, I believe that our joy as a community of faith is a witness to the world, to God, to His Spirit at work in us, transforming us. Our world out there does not like not getting their own way. And if we're honest, as human beings, we don't either. But if we want to cultivate that joy in the mess, we've got to get comfortable with not getting our own way. Now, I'm sure many of you have experienced the disunity around a whole bunch of different things over the years. You know, I remember the first time, I'm a drummer, right? The first time I played drums in church, some people were not happy. Apparently, the drums were of the devil. And then Larry Norman wrote a song, "Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music?" Now, anyone under 50 won't know who Larry Norman is. You know, there's been so many times through the history of the church where not getting our own way has crushed the joy of community. And so if we want to cultivate, we need to get comfortable. We need to be okay with not always getting our own way. Service time might change, a style of music, or how long someone preaches for, or how short someone preaches. We might not be our way, what we want, what we like. And often our joy then gets stifled by this need to have our way. So the challenge, I think, is about experiencing a deeper sense of joy when we choose to let go rather than persist in pursuing our agenda. And that's, I think, tough for humanity. And if you like, you know, as Dave was praying, you know, I feel like every morning that I wake up, there is a new disaster, a new war, a new horrific thing going on in our world. There's not a lot of joy out there. The world needs the church to bring the joy. Now, Scripture reminds us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. This sense of humility that unlocks joy. It's not linked to how things turn out, but rather the beauty of giving and receiving grace. So we've got to get comfortable with not getting our own way. And, you know, if you look at that at a macro church level, but also if you look at that at a micro relationship level, anyone here married? Get comfortable with not getting your own way. Amen. Second thing is this: be adaptable and celebrate change. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Change can unsettle us. But I also believe it's a sign of life and growth. Being rigid and stuck, I believe, can rob us from joy. of what God wants to do in and through us now and in the future. Change is a way of life. And some people thrive in change. Like, you know, they want to change more than I change my clothes. They love it. They thrive in that space of change, of uncertainty, of spontaneity, of surprise, of adventure. But others, like me, like to have our certainty and our structure and our order and have things in control. So we're a little bit less open to the idea of change, Bernie. But if we want to cultivate joy in community, if we want to cultivate joy in relationships, we've got to be adaptable and celebrate change. It is something that unsettles us, but I also believe it is transformational. You know, every time life shifts unexpectedly, I believe there is an invitation to grow. You know, some of you are aware that for the last 15 years now, I have been working and volunteering in Cambodia, and I fly back there tomorrow, actually. At a number of different levels. We have a church there, Campus Kingsway, Cambodia. They're coming, just celebrated 10 years in Phnom Penh, which is exciting for them. Great church community, serving the poor, working alongside some NGOs who are, you know, working with girls that have been in slavery, some in the sex industry, seeing a bunch of those girls make commitments and get baptized this year. We had 8 girls get baptized this year, which was pretty cool. But when I first went to Cambodia in 2009, I hated it. Like I was there with Jen and our 2 kids, and like everything about it, like I hated it. Like the smells, the poverty, the food, the everything. It was like confronting me at every level. I mean, you know, I'd pretty much just been in the Shire. You know, my overseas experiences were New York or New Zealand, San Susi. you know, and so I'd never really experienced like everything about it, just like. Except God did something in here, you know, that was beyond all of the things I was seeing and experiencing. And, you know, I remember riding a little motor scooter on the dirt road and having to fill up with petrol. And the only 2 ways you could do that in Cambodia at the time, 15 years ago, was a 44-gallon drum with a pump handle on it. That was the service station. That was 7-Eleven. Or something on the side of the road with an old milk bottle that had something in it that they reckoned was petrol. But they were all different colours, and so you never really knew what you were putting in these things. I mean, it's changed so much in 15 years. But for me, what I had to walk through, the way I had to learn to embrace uncertainty and just the way that they operate, like the traffic is confronting. If you've ever been to a place like Vietnam or Cambodia, where everyone's on the little motorbikes and they're like going down the wrong side of the road, the wrong way of a street, on the footpath, like you name it, they just find the gap and go there. And, you know, for me, I was so overwhelmed by that. And now I ride a motorbike there. I'm part of the mess. I'm part of the chaos. And so God has done a work in me. And that, for me, has actually become an absolute joy for me to be there and to be a part of what God is doing. So next time something or someone disrupts your routine, pause and ask, what opportunity for joy does this change invite? The third thing is that we need to be accepting and kind with people who think differently than us. And this is a challenge. You know, Verse 2 says, being of the same mind, having the same love. This is not about uniformity. It's about unity within that diversity. And I believe joy comes when we embrace differences with grace. Whether that's differences in theology or politics or parenting, we all have different ways that we see the world, different lenses and viewpoints by which we look at everything. And those of you who do know me would know for many, many years, I guess you could say I've been banging on about this idea that we all hold our truth about how we see the world. But it's not guaranteed to be the truth. And so we need to be very careful how we negotiate and talk and communicate and converse in community when we believe that our truth is the truth. It's very dangerous, in my opinion. Now, because I look back at 40 years, say 45 years here, what I believed to be true 40 years ago, even theologically, is very different to what I believe to be true today. So I've been evolving my faith. God has been growing me and changing me and challenging me and transforming the way I see the world, the way I see the church, the way I see faith, the way I see scripture. Constantly being evolved. So in any community, differences in opinion and belief and perspective are inevitable. And we say, that's okay. Let's celebrate that. Let's embrace that. Let's accept that and be kind to those people around us that might think differently to you. I believe there is an opportunity for us to listen to those who think differently first. And when we do that, I believe we can witness growth in ourselves and in others and in the collective story of who God is calling us to be. See, unity does not require uniformity for us all to be the same. And I don't think God ever expects that of us. And look, I understand there are some massive challenges around different theological perspectives on a whole range of things. That two people that I would consider, you know, godly followers of Jesus can have two starkly different viewpoints. Reading the same Bible, praying to the same God, but can have two different viewpoints. To me, that challenges everything in my head. So I have to learn to be accepting and kind. It doesn't mean I embrace their belief, but it means I'm accepting of them and I'm kind to them and I want to have conversation with them. So I believe through understanding one another, there is a transformative power of community where the differences spark conversation, not conflict. And the last thing I would say is this: be grateful that you belong to the mess, because you are part of it. And whether you agree or not, you're partly why it's messy. A perfect church does not exist. The mess does not disqualify us from joy. It invites us to fight for it together. And I believe gratitude is the gateway to joy. I wrote something a number of years ago. I found it in my phone this morning. Quite profound, I might add. Gratitude changes your worldview. It simplifies your needs. It acknowledges what you have. It appreciates who you have. It celebrates where you are. It focuses on today whilst being thankful for yesterday and expectant of tomorrow. Gratitude is the key that turns even our hardest moments into pathways of deeper joy. By appreciating the whole tapestry of our community, including those chaotic threads, and being grateful, I believe, cultivates joy. You know, I often say to leaders, I do quite a lot of work with executive leaders in here in Australia and some also in Cambodia. You know, I often say to leaders that, you know, it's hard to build trust without gratitude. And in team, the foundation to great teams is trust. If there's no trust in team, then it's very, very difficult to build upon that in any way, shape, or form. It's very hard to do conflict when there's no trust. It's very hard to get commitment when there's no trust. And what helps cultivate trust is a spirit or heart of gratitude, even more so in the church. Joy in community isn't surface level happiness. It is a spirit-filled, spirit-fueled, sacrificial and resilient joy. And we choose it. Gratitude is a choice. Choosing to not get my own way is a choice. It's a decision I make. It's an attitude. It's something about who I am. And when you read that text, there's not a lot of room for debate. It doesn't say do some things from selfish ambition. It says do nothing. Count others more significant than yourself. Look to the interests of others, not just your own interests. And that spirit and that heart, which is only possible through a filling of the Holy Spirit. This is not humanly possible to live out every day unless the Spirit of God empowers us. This is where we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, etc. So this is a spirit-filled and a spirit-fueled joy in community that I believe will be an incredible witness to the world. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much that you invite us into joy. And I know that in community, in the mess of community, that can be hard work sometimes. But I'm also really grateful of this community, of the joy, of the relationships, of the growth, of the journey that I see and experience week in, week out. Of a community that I believe is committed to cultivating joy in the mess of community. I pray that you would help us practice that with great humility and unity and grace, that we would live that out. Humility, love, unity. That we would be a joy-filled community that shines a light in a world that we know needs some joy and love and peace. We ask that we would fight for that, that we would protect that, and that we would live that out. In Jesus' name, amen.